Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, faucets, vanities, doors, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online now through July 18th. Not a member? Join My Lowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
How we doing, everybody? Welcome back to Crime Theory with myself, Ron Swanson, on the Sean Atwood channel with the man himself, John Wedger. And I just want to say to people who are on my Discord, the Discord is now back open. I'm going to be posting the link right here. And if you're on the server and you have a green members role or name, if your name is green, towards the end of the show, if you want to come and join me in the members room, and we will let you put questions to John, and it's going to be a whole new thing that I want to bring to these live streams, because community is epic. But John, how are you? You were just telling me about your gallivanting.
I've been the length and breadth of the country. I've been from down in Somerset. I've been up in North Yorkshire. I've been over to Liverpool, Wigan, Manchester, everywhere. So it's been absolutely crazy, you know. So the podcast and stuff has gone, not my own, other people's, but you know, where I can, I will oblige, but it's taken its toll. I've done like nearly 1,000, well, probably more than 1,000 miles, and in such a short period of time. So and working at the same time as well. So a little bit cattle trucked, as we say down here.
Well, but listen everybody, if John needs a few nights off or whatever, you've heard it here. It's for his own health. It's always good to dip out and re-energize, John. Go and jump in some rivers. You know what I mean? That's what
That actually is what I need to be doing, actually. So I'm going to be starting that up again. A little bit of cold water swimming. So we'll see.
Before we get started, John, have you heard of a movie called Blink Twice?
No.
Okay, so if I told you that in August a movie came out called Blink Twice about a billionaire who buys an island, all right, one moment, please. All right, well, while John's there, I just want to say, everybody, welcome. It's great to see everyone. I hope everyone is doing well. The Diddy nightmare does not stop. It seems like every single day there's something new being added, being found out, new testimonies coming out, whether it's from victims, witnesses, whatever. It just doesn't seem to stop. Follow me on Twitter as well, everyone. All right, John's back. All right.
Sorry, back in the house. Sorry, I just had to help someone. But twice, a billionaire buys an island.
Billionaire buys an island, and then he invites all his billionaire friends to the island with members of the public and sex workers, where they're all provided clothing that is white-only T-shirts, shorts, white-only clothing, white fingernails, where then subsequently drugs are introduced and situations happen where people wake up and they can't remember things. If I told you that was a movie that came out in August with Channing Tatum, a proper actor in it, would you believe me?
Well, it's a bit predictive, isn't it? And the timing is perfect, isn't it?
Well, here's the thing, right? Usually, when there's a control movie being put out, they want us all to know about it, right?
Yeah, of course.
This is a madness, bro.
Of course, you know, it's an algorithm, isn't it? It's the same thing all the time. And I was doing an interview last night, and I said to the guy, you know, what we're seeing happen in America with the P. Diddy stuff. I said, listen, we had it happen over here with Elm Guesthouse. We had it with Dolphin Square, you know. And he had no clue. He didn't even know what.
Oh, wow. He didn't have a clue. Okay, wow.
And I said, listen, you know, over there, it always starts off over here. And we had so many films that were coming out on the same level over in this country. You know, you had films like Mona Lisa with Bob Hoskins was shown about the girls being taken to the posh people and abused and then murdered. You know, and when it comes to like the SRA stuff, Hammer House of Horror, have been doing it for decades, putting it out there. And even Christopher Lee, you know, the main actor, turned around and said, listen, this is real. This isn't, you know, fiction.
Just pause there for a second. So take us, go back to the Hammer Horror stuff. So what you're saying is, there's film studios who are depicting the realities of this abuse in their films, right?
Now, yep.
To me, somebody who has a line when it comes to horror movies, like, for example, I'm all right, but I'm not just going to sit and watch like needless gore, right? So if you're saying that some of these movies are messages, like, that's kind of blown my mind a little bit, John.
I mean, you know, nearer the time, we had that fantastic film Devil's Advocate with Keanu Reeves, you know, an incredibly good film. But the strange thing is, a fellow contacted me, he was an architect, and he said, whenever we design banks and big merchant houses, he said that the real big ones have a room, they call it the room at the top. And it's usually one big chair, or there's one big chair, and there's 12 others, like 13 chairs, and okay, it's always left empty, and it's known as the devil's room. And if when you look at the film Devil's Advocate, you know, he's meant to be the devil, Al Pacino, John Milton, yeah, and anyone who knows anything knows that John Milton was a guy who wrote Paradise Lost, you know, about hell.
Okay.
So that's a connection there. And he's got this room at the top. And I heard it twice. I heard it from an architect, and I heard it from someone else who worked in an institution in Canary Wharf. And so one of the big banks there, that's exactly what they had there, the room that no one would go in. And
do you know what I loved about that movie, John? You know what I loved about that movie was the ending, where the devil played out the reality again and used a different sin to try and lure him in.
Well, it's called freedom of choice, isn't it?
Well,
freedom of choice.
Freedom of choice, but imagine the devil removing freedom of choice in a way that he makes you replay it with different options until he tries to crack your code. Do you think that is a hack in the Christian code almost? Because that scene blew my mind, because if the devil wanted to manipulate someone, but he couldn't alter their free choice, making them repeat the same thing over and over again until he finds...
Well, the devil never gives up. It says in the Bible, he prowls around like a roaring lion, you know, wait for his prey. And everyone has a weakness, and the other side knows a weakness. So it might be pride, it might be women, it might be gambling, it might be men, it might be alcohol, drugs, whatever it might be, selfishness, lust, you know, bulk it all together. You know, we all fall foul. We're all sinners in that respect. But some take it further, and they go along this mountain. Well, if it doesn't hurt anyone, then let's get on with it. Well, how do you know it's not hurting anyone? And you know, when you're saying about this thing, blink twice.
Yeah.
You know, I can always remember talking to someone when some files got released regarding Elm Guest House and politicians. We mentioned them before. We mentioned one of them, Nicholas Fairbairn, the QC for the Procurator Fiscal in Scotland. Him and Cyril Smith and another MP were named as attendees for the sex party where young children from care homes were brought and guest house in South London. And I said to this fella, I said, you know, in the police, I'm not saying I ever witnessed this happen, read between the lines with a lot of what I say to this thing, that if there was any incriminating paperwork, it got burnt. Or allegedly it got burnt, you know, wherever you want to take that. I said, so why would the intelligence services be so foolhardy as to have documentation that's clearly going to get them in a world of trouble? And he said, John, it's blackmail value. It's all to do with the blackmail. Now, again, you look at James Bond films. You know, he has a fight in a hotel room with and a woman appears, scantily clad, who's a Russian karate expert, and he kicks her through the mirror, and of course there's a guy filming it. You know, and we've got to look at what's his face, Ian Fleming, who wrote the James Bond things. He was an intelligence asset for the Royal Navy, and he had quite amazing. He started up this form of espionage, and they were called the Horse Squad. And this is in true life. He used prostitutes to go out and to infiltrate the enemy in Germany. He used to parachute prostitutes into occupied France and Germany, and it was one of the most successful espionage campaigns of the war. Damn. Ian Fleming, and of course he went on to write these books, but they're based on fact. You know, so, but again, it's covert cameras. When we look at what Sean Combs, I can't stand all these stupid names like P. Diddy. I find it immature, you know, I find it ridiculous. Puff Daddy, he's a grown man, you know, grow up, use your name. And what it is, it's a bit like an altar. When someone has an altar, they can offset their bad behavior to this alter ego, you know, like Katie Price does to Jordan. Oh, that's Jordan that does that, not Katie Price, the mother of a special needs kid and blah, 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 horse rider, or all that. And then the next breath, she's, you know, letting people defecate on her. And
what about if I can take it one step further? What about if, when we look at magic and these spells that these people believe that they have, and these powers, and we think about how words are put together with symbols, what if when these individuals take on these, you know, Beyonce, Jay-Z, Puff Daddy, what if they are creating almost like a spell that the more these things are said and the more that these things are followed and worshipped as artists, the more power that they receive? Because it seems to me like mass worship is something that is being harnessed a lot by these individuals.
Well, look, the devil is the prince of the airwaves. He was in charge of the choir of angels. So music is a medium of the devil, and it always has been. And it comes as an angel of light. So it comes ingratiating. But when you look at these people, look at Beyonce, for start off, and people like Katy Perry, they start off sweet and innocent, and they get defiled as time goes on. They end up dark and dirty. One of the greatest testimonies is that of Alice Cooper. You know, an incredible testimony of the demonic side of rock. And he's, because he's totally turned his back on it, and he's gone to Jesus. And he gives an incredible, I was enthralled. I've actually tried to reach out and contact him because I love what he's got to say. And many others say it, but it won't just be the invocation. There will be an organized, ritualistic, hierarchical element to what they're doing.
Yeah, that goes without saying, just so you know. That completely goes without saying. It's the exact same as, I mean, the easiest way of thinking about it is just think about any religion. So as the public, if we take Christianity, for example, I know about the fathers, the vicars, whatever they're, the ministers, right? And those are the public people that the public see. But there's so many more religious figures within the church that me and maybe a lot of the public don't necessarily know exist or see. And it's the same with cults and sects and cabals and all these things. Diddy was effectively one of the public figures. He wasn't a high up member. He was complete. Oh my God, it's Damaris. What is happening, man? He was one of the expendable. But to us, but, because of the celebrity stature, he seems like higher up in this than he is.
Diddy is a fixer. You know, he's no different to Jimmy Fix-It, Jimmy Savile, Sir Jimmy, and all that rubbish. He was a fixer, and that was his job, to fix it. Now, if you have a party, and you are filming people, you're not really going to get bad behavior. But if you have a party and anything goes, like you're saying about the white robes, the drugging, and the sex and everything else, right, with other damaged, emotionally traumatized and damaged individuals, which, you know, you've got to look at Will Smith's son, a totally damaged young man, and he's now coming out saying his father took him to these parties and used him. Who was the other one? Angelina Jolie. You look at their children. Their children are damaged. They're emotionally damaged individuals, right? Now, they were going to that. You wouldn't get bad behavior if people were filming it. But if it was covertly being filmed,
of course,
none the wiser. And then afterwards, it's a conspiracy of silence. All this idiot Sean Combs is doing, right? The weak-minded man he is, he's just recreating an ancient algorithm of a conspiracy of silence. and inputting it into it, bad behaviour and everything else. Now, if someone, like we mentioned last week, if someone said that they caught me, I don't know, a bit of stupidity, not that I do it, I don't do, I'm not into drugs, I'm not into it, but years ago, alcohol was really my thing, but, you know, sniffing cocaine, you know, and they caught me, oh, caught John Wedger sniffing cocaine. Well, do you know what? So what? You know, got John Wedger's been seen out with another woman other than his missus and not married or anything like that. But then again, so what? Right? You'll live with it. You know, you'll get over it. It might cause a bit of domestic upheaval and questions to be asked at work and things like that. But so what? But if you're caught with a child, it's a biggie. You know, that is a bridge you shouldn't be crossing. And people aren't going to forget that in a hurry. And it's going to have a lot of value. You know, that's going to be a top trump card to play. And this is what they're doing. This is what they're doing. And it needs people to speak out now. People need to find a backbone. And, you know, like I was mentioning on an interview the other day, everyone's surprised. Well, I'm not surprised. I said to you last week, guys like Julian St. John, Gennady Mokonenko, I doubt anyone's even bothered looking them up. These are people that have saved thousands of children and young people's lives. Yeah. Right? They're the sort of people you should be putting on the pedestal. And if you're going to worship anyone, it will be them. Not these morons that bring nothing to the moral table whatsoever and are no good for the upbringing and the moral fortitude of our youth. It's just nothing but bad behaviour. And, you know, if you look at, if all things go wrong and we end up in a situation like we did after the First and the Second World War, where we had blackouts, places were bombed, it was all that old East End spirit get together. The ones that would have done well would have been the resourceful mothers who could rally round and make a dinner out of nothing. The men that could go and get a bit of wood and build a shelter and build this and build that. Well, what use would a moron, a soft-skinned individual like Sean Coons be? You know, if we end up in that situation and the way things are going in the Middle and the Near East, that could well happen.
Yeah.
These men, as men are of no worth. There's a brilliant film called The Admirable Crichton, which is came out in the 1960s, and it's about some chinless aristocrats who decide to go on a cruise, and they bring their manservant, Crichton, along, and they're just into partying and everything else, and they get marooned. And of course, these idiots can't do anything for themselves because they've never done anything for themselves. Whereas young Crichton, he takes over and he, because he can do stuff, he can cook, he can engineer things with his hands and everything else. You know, I work a lot with young offenders and I say to them, you know, do something with your hands, have a bit of muscle memory. So that when you do settle down and you have children, you can put a shelf up for your missus. You know, you can dig the garden, you can steam clean the pavement or whatever it might be. You can fix your kid's puncher on their bike. Otherwise, you're useless. You're of no use.
Yeah.
And we see that with the influx of Southeast and Eastern European individuals that are coming over here. And they've got strong family commitment and dedication and life skills that we as a broken British community have lost through engineering and just an absolute massively attack on our families. And Sean Coons and Beyonce and Jay-Z and all these other morons are all part of that. So I'm not going to be surprised if big names are mentioned. And to be honest, how do you become a big name? What do you have to do to become a big name if the ego needs you to be the premier number one, then what do you need to have to do? And I would have thought, first thing is, sell your soul. It's no secret. There are so many documentaries out there, mainstream and YouTube, of these celebrities that have admitted that they sold their soul. I mean, Bob Dylan, you know, Jimi Hendrix, you know, they're and Bob Dylan, he couldn't even sing in tune. And he sold his soul. And the next thing, you know, he's harmonizing and everything else.
Yeah.
So it's no surprise to me. We are now just seeing the flip side of what these people do.
Okay.
And that's it. It's just another form of
A question for you before we jump into the main topic. Please make sure everyone likes and shares as well. Before we jump into the main topic, what is your take on Philip Schofield's new show on Channel 5?
Yeah, you know, I don't like the guy. I'm surprised that, again, it's the ego, isn't it? I'm going to tell you something, right? Yeah. So this is beginning of the 2000s. I was investigating a case of child S abuse, and I write about it in my book. It was a really shocking case. And when you're putting a case together, you need to bolster it up, especially with that sort of crime, because you've only got a testimony of a broken child and you need to pick things out. And when you interview them, you scrutinize the evidence and think, how can we corroborate that? And this girl turned around and said she remembered the first time this happened. It was in a flat. Give me the address of the flat, and I managed to get the plans from the council of the flat. And she said it was in my room. She picked out where her room was, so corroborating it in that respect. And she said whilst it was happening, the TV was on, and the Spice Girls were on, and they were singing "If You Want to Be My Lover." It just made number one. So that was so important because we could then put a date and a time to it. So I went off to Guinness Book of Records, and they keep a list of number ones. And they were great. They did me a statement. They said, actually, it's called Wannabe. This is when it came out, and it was aired the first time, bang, on Thursday evening, 7 o'clock in June, whenever it was, 1990, whatever. So we could put a date to the indictment.
Yeah.
And the girl said it was sunny. So I went to the meteorological office and they said, boom, 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 boom. And what she said then was she remembers that the next time it happened, it was Saturday TV and Philip Schofield was the presenter of this program. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, right, I'll go like I did with Capital Radio. I went to them. They put me in touch with Guinness Book of Records. But I'll do the same. I'll go to the BBC. And I got through to the BBC and I said, look, it's really important. Can we have a short statement from Philip Schofield saying that he went live on this day, but he refused to help. Refused. And from that day, I felt sick every time I saw that guy. Yeah. He refused to help. And I remember saying something to someone. I said, I don't trust this fella. Because he, hands down, who would refuse to help a Scotland Yard detective piecing together a crime of the most abhorrent nature? Well, he certainly did. And I never forgave him for that. So I don't care if he's on this island and he gets eaten by a monkey and ripped to pieces by a shark and gets typhoid and syphilis and everything else. I've got no regard for this individual. And I certainly, and really, Channel 5, shame on them. Shame on them. They shouldn't be going anywhere near it.
I really think, with all the work you've done, you're due a couple of, like, schmite him lords. I think you've got a couple of schmite thems in your bank, mate. You might want to just go home tonight and before you go to bed, just stand at the window and be like, schmite them, mighty schmiter. I think you're just a couple of schmites. Honestly, I genuinely think you are.
Juicy. But sometimes it's not what someone does, it's what they don't do as well, you know, and why someone would even to the point of obstructing such a sensitive investigation. I genuinely didn't think there'd be an issue. And there was a real big problem, and I was also told not to contact the office again, and all sorts. And I thought there's something not right here. Really, you know, drawing inference from what I'm saying, I'm not going to say any more than that. But yeah, and the other thing is, do you know what? Don't watch it. Put in a complaint and don't watch it. The blokes are wrong, and the same as P. Diddy and all that gangster rap stuff. You know, I think they're all closet, strange, weird people anyway, that are suppressing something very deep down, dark and secret in their personality and maybe their sexuality. Don't listen to these people. Do not idolize them. They bring nothing to the table. If we look at people like Lil Nas, these stupid names they give themselves, he's a self-proclaimed Satanist. You know, he's got them Nike trainers full of blood. Only 666 pairs were made. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah. You know, veto it, veto Nike, but you know, for putting up with it and patronizing this guy, Lil Wayne, and all these people, don't go there with them.
Yeah.
Stop listening to them.
Yeah.
You know, and stop buying stuff from their companies or whatever it is. And, you know, same as Philip Schofield, just ignore him. And he's just a pest. He'll go away.
Yeah. Do you know what's interesting? You know, the trainers you're talking about with the blood in it, the company that made them also brought out the holy version, which instead of having blood in it, it was a multiple different holy waters inserted inside it and all this kind of stuff. It's they're a mad company, right? But can you do me a favor, John? I need to just run and get a drink. Can you just tell everybody about your swimming and the charity and the work you do out with, obviously, keeping children safe and all of that, because you're an advocate in multiple areas. And, I, you know, just give everybody
No, that's okay. So I can sort of rant on a bit. I mean, most people, most of you know what I'm about and what I do. And, you know, as it says on there, ex-Scotland Yard detective. Well, that is true. I am a retired police detective. We worked in the field of child abuse investigations for many years. And now I do my best to try and help victims, survivors, and also try and steer the youth, the young men that get in trouble with the law, out of prison, because you know, it's important. And we're at a point in our society that we are so broken, it's almost past redemption. And we are getting generations and generations of young men growing up that lack base level wisdom, the sort of wisdom that we'd only get from a close family community. You know, the stuff that we would get from a grandfather, a great grandfather, a grandmother, and, you know, and primarily from a father. And once you remove that male influence from the life, which I think is a deliberate attempt, and I think this is what society has successfully done, is taken the man out of the house. I mean, America did it. New York was one of them, where if a single or a mother there with a child, if the man was in the house, you know, they had to pay double. It was economically not cost effective for the man to be there. So they did it that way.
Yeah,
and they push them out, and we end up with very, very balanced, angry, dysfunctional young people that suffer from abandonment and rejection, and they lack base level wisdom. They haven't got it. Their wisdom comes from TV, from these music videos, and it's dangerous and it's skewed. And this is why we've gone from having a capital city, which was the envy of the Western world, if not the whole world, for being safe, for being honest. Our taxi drivers were the most honest, were the best in the world. Now that's been replaced with Uber. We had a police force, again, that was virtually uncorruptible, although there always has been corruption. But on the whole, you couldn't palm a tenner over to a Bobby on the beat. He wouldn't accept it. He couldn't accept it. And they'd always get you home. And they'd always look after you. And now we've got the most inept, moronic police force. You know, you might as well not have one.
Yeah.
And I don't want to denigrate, you know, my ex-colleagues, my ex-brothers and sisters that are doing a good job. I'm not denigrating you. But I'm denigrating the whole system, because it's been designed to be totally ineffectual. And perversely upside down as well, where you're seeing victims being arrested instead of perpetrators, you know, the picking of low hanging fruit. And we need to turn this around. We need to look back when we did have some sort of substance, and it all comes down to morals. And it does, strong, solid Christian values and morals, which is what it was.
Whoa, hey, whoa, I see what you did there, John, with the Christian values, okay? Just general values. You listen, I'm just saying, I'm with you, man. I'm watching you, John. I'm watching you.
Well, it's our legal system is based on it. When you go into a court, you know, you swear on a deity, and you know, when you take an affirmation to any establishment, you do likewise, because that is where it came from. And common law is what's called God's law. It's to protect people against harm, loss, and nuisance, and that's the essence of it. You know.
I'm with you.
And once you start messing with that, you know, you start messing with the energy that creates something, and then it doesn't work. And this is what's happened. It does not work now. It's wrong. And it's very, very dangerous. It's very, very dangerous. So, we've got a long way to go. And, you know, it's down to everyone really to start taking some sort of community responsibility, you know.
Okay.
Start doing what we should be doing.
See, here's an interesting one, John. Right, because I think we were just, this is a bit off topic, and we'll get back on topic after this, right? In fact, no, I'm going to save this for the end, just because I know people will be a bit like, why are we doing this, right? But let's just, I'd like to just sort of go to P. Diddy, right? And a lot of these sex workers, John, that are great tools for being discreditable witnesses if anything goes to court instantly, right? And very easy to discredit in the public eye. What do you think about some of these workers that have come forward and said they've witnessed people being mutilated at these Diddy parties? They've seen celebrities partaking in rituals and all of this horrible stuff based off of your testimonies from survivors of this ritualistic abuse.
Okay, right. So we've got two different things here. We've got proof and we've got truth.
Okay.
Right. The truth is that these people generally do these things.
Okay.
Right. There's been enough testimonials towards this, but they're done in a very covert nature, and they're also done with a conspiracy of silence. So if you speak out, you're going to be dirty yourself. So the truth is, yes, this went on. The proof is, where is the proof? Unless they've got video footage that they've gleaned from data storage devices, unless he hasn't been wise enough to delete them, you're going to have no proof. And this is the fundamental problem with all child S abuse cases or S abuse generally. It's never done in public. It's never done on the top deck of a bus at rush hour, you know, to a packed audience. It's done secretly, right? So same as SRA, it's done secretly and everyone has to participate. So what's going to have to happen is that if enough people are saying the same things, then you're pretty much going to have a bit of, you know, fact coming in. If enough people say the same thing, there's a good chance it went on, right? It's a good chance that actually did happen. The defense's job is to discredit that. And of course, they can easily discredit that. And if he's a billionaire, he's going to have some very, very powerful defense lawyers, attorneys, whatever they call them, barristers, we call them over here, that are going to attack the credibility of the source of the information, which is the witnesses. Now, if these witnesses are prostitutes, for example, we can discredit them. You know, we can attack their character. If they're drug addicts, again, we can do likewise on that. If you've been taking drugs or you've been drinking heavily, you know, who knows what's going on in your head? You know, and they'll bring up things like about delusion and hallucinations. As someone slept enough, their medical history will be brought up. So it will be an attack on the source. Now, there's a very, I wouldn't say famous, I wouldn't call him famous because I don't like the guy, but he did a lot of good work for survivors of childhood abuse. So I'll give him credit there. There's a bloke called Michael Mansfield, who people might know for representing Diana in the Diana Inquiry and all this stuff.
Okay.
And he was a dog in what he would do, because if he couldn't attack the evidence, he would attack the source of the evidence. So he would go fully out to attack the witnesses. And when you've got witnesses to these crimes, they are going to be very vulnerable. And it will be easy to attack them and destabilize them and ruin them in the box, because it will come down to that final performance in the box. And some of these barristers are very aggressive and very dogmatic and highly articulate. So they will deliberately demean someone. And they will look at, like when I mentioned it before, when I would interview someone, I would study their character and I would work out their previous convictions and I would try and work out a weakness so I could attack them in an interview room and basically get them to talk or cry or whatever it might be. Mm-hmm. And get them away from having loyalty to their solicitor who sat next to them. And, you know, it worked. You know, not all the time, but it did work. But because that's what we were trying to do. And I had a particular MO were doing it. And these guys will be the same. So, but if enough of them, if the police authorities are uncorrupted, which is going to be difficult when you're going to be dealing with ritual abuse. That corruption is going to be right to the heart of the establishment. And it might just be that the public get what the public wants. And we see a very watered down version of justice.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing you're going to be looking at is people like Sean Coombs and I don't know, Will Smith. I heard something that his sons mentioned. You know, so if we, for example, if we have got people like Sean Coombs, Will Smith, and all them are involved, Sean Coombs is in a world of trouble, right? His world has now collapsed. He is going to rely on as much favour getting as he can. And he's going to be able to do that. He can't do it on the outside, because on the outside he could start threatening people and coercing people and getting people to lie for him and come up with this story. He can't do that because he's now inside. He's incarcerated. His phone will be monitored. His letters are monitored. So he's pretty stuck, right? The only way he's going to get stuff out is in a legal visit with his lawyers, his legal team. They might be able to get stuff out there. But if they're caught doing it, they're in a world of trouble as well. His only way out now is to become an informant. And I think he will be bubbling people up left, right, and centre.
Yeah, singing like a canary, 100%.
No, well, I think that's what will be happening. If I was one of the detectives on that case, I will be going around and offering him a deal that he can't refuse. Because
do you think someone like Diddy, what happened to Epstein would have, inspired him to put things in place so that if he was at risk of being Epsteined, he had dirt hidden away? Do you think
it depends if he's preempted the police raid. I would have thought he pretty much has been doing that anyway by threatening people and bullying them. I think he's been doing that. I think he's probably done that with Jennifer Lopez and a few more.
True.
What the police need to do is bring them in, because he's been arrested for this. I can't remember the terminology, but it's something conspiracy. And what that is really, he's just dragged everyone in on it, right? He dirtied them all. By them partaking in it, they're now part of his conspiracy that he's formulated.
Yes. Right?
Now, we have a similar thing. It's called aid and abet and to counsel and procure. We have the same legislation in this country, all right? And so what these people that are caught up in that, what they have to do is now they have to become prosecution witnesses if it's to go the right way. They've got to go to the police department that are dealing with this and say, look, I was there. I did bring a little child there. I did take part in this ritual. I did drink the blood of a child. I did do this to this kid and do that. I did do it, but this is why I did it. And give good, strong mitigating circumstances, right? Now, the police can cut a deal straight away with them, and they can be purged, all right? They won't get off of it, but they will be dealt with incredibly leniently. And this is what we do when we work an informant. We get the informant, and we put them through a purging process. And we have to say, right, now you're going to grass up on this guy, but you need to grass yourself now, because they're going to use it against us. You're dirty in the eyes of the law. We need to clean you, and we're going to deal with this. And we can dissolve a lot of your crime. We can put that to the judge, tell him you're working for us, and this can be dealt with here and now at a massive discount. It might be you have to go away, a bit like a taking into consideration offence, but you will be dealt with favourably. You're now working for us, but we need a statement. And whatever you give us has to be greater than what you've done. So that's the important thing, right? I had a woman come to me, and she told me that she had been involved in the ritual murder of an infant in a church in Surrey, and she had actually drank the blood of that recently murdered infant child, right?
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
And she came to me and started telling me, and I said, listen, you've got to tell the police. There's no point telling me, go to the police and tell them. And she went, well, they won't believe me. I said, well, that's up to them, but you've got to tell them. She did exactly that. She went to the police, told them. They did nothing. Nothing. And one of the cases that we dealt with here regarding that young Brian McDermott, I actually went to the RUC. And I went to the main news agency in Northern Ireland, and I told them what I'd found out. I told them, and they did nothing. They did absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, this is how you have to deal with it. You know, give it to the authorities first. They're the ones. You can't deal with it yourself. And in fact, you're going to get yourself in a world of trouble if you do. The truth stands on its own, yeah. And it does. Do not be frightened of the truth. Even if it implicates you, you know, so what?
Yeah, 100%. You
know? So I would say that a lot of the people that are going to be named or are cropping up on the audit trail and investigation, they're going to need to be arrested, but they have a chance to do the right thing. And Sean Coombs is a fixer level.
Yeah.
He's not at the bottom. He's not at the bottom. He's too sophisticated for that. He's got too much wealth and he's had too good a run of luck for that, right? He's not at the bottom. He's that middle tier, but he is facilitating those higher up. And it will be dark and it will be ritualistic.
Yeah.
But there will be a cover up. Look, we've seen it over here. We saw it with Dolphin Square,
in which
kids were alleged to have been murdered and a very similar, almost identical to this. What happened? They had a big inquiry into it. No one really got in trouble. Those that did, it was all posthumous, and the inquiry went on and never ever heard of again. The public gets what the public wants. He's just a fool guy, this fella.
Yeah.
So I think it'll go the same way as the Dolphin Square, the Elm Guest House, and all the major care home inquiries. We've had it over here. Please, people, like I say to you many times, if you want to find out where these children are, these victims, you've only got to sit outside a kid's home and watch, set aside on a Thursday night, come 7 o'clock, you watch them kids get picked up and trafficked out. You haven't got to go all the way off to Thailand, Cambodia. There was a woman, I feel sorry for this woman. She's a lovely individual, and she funds a lot of people looking into this stuff. And she's been taken for a massive ride. And a couple of ex-investigators have taken so much money off this woman, and she's given me an update. Oh, they've gone out to Romania, they've gone out to here, they've gone out there, and they've got info that kids are being trafficked in containers, and they're brought over from the far and east, and you know, and they're brought over here and they're used in rituals. And I said, they're taking you for a ride. I said, because nothing will come of it. And if you put a baby in a shipping container, how long do you think it's going to live for? Before it goes to dehydrate. It was a nonsense. But she bought into this lie and paid for these guys to swan it all around these places, which seem to all be hotspots for prostitution and sex tourism anyway.
Yeah.
So I think I know what good idea what they were probably up to. And nothing come of it. And I said, if you want to help the kids, they're on your doorstep. Look, we had it with the Rolling Stones, right?
Okay.
Bill Wyman was in his 50s. And he was hanging around with Mandy Smith when she was 14 years old and then married her when she was 16. You know, it's the same.
Yeah.
And everyone called them a wild child. There was Mandy Smith and there was Emma. What was her other name? Was it Forbes, Emma, or something? Anyway, I can't remember her name. And, you know, the two of these girls, you know, they were underage, massively underage. and they're in Stringfellow's nightclub and all that. They're telling you what they're doing. So we have seen it. It just gets painted in this rock and roll lifestyle. Yeah. But it's not. There's nothing rock and roll about that. This is paedophilia. This is paedophilia.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, right. And it's in our face. So he deserves all he gets.
Yeah.
Will he be murdered? I don't know. I doubt it. He's going to be a super grass now, and he deserves to go away. He'll deserve every day he gets inside. And let's see what he comes up with. Let's see what excuse he gives.
I'm with you. Okay, at this point, everyone, can we please make sure we're liking and subscribing? Make sure you're sharing this. And if you're on my Discord, get ready to come and join the members room. Or if you've got some questions or you want to ask them to John, let me know. In the side chat over here, if you'd like to start asking your questions, I'll star them and we can get John's input on your guys' views. But if you want to get ready inside Discord, please make sure that you do that. Anne is already there waiting. Mods, if you can head over and come into the room as well, please. And we'll get set up for that just shortly. So, John, when we hear about the multiple layers to Diddy's parties, right, it's a vetting system, right? It's how much you can handle to see if you can get into the club. As a piece of evidence and a tactic, would you see that as prevalent in some of the real cases you've done where you've had to go after these monsters? Is like the vetting systems and all these kind of things, it's a tactic used, right?
Of course it is, yeah. I mean, you know, on one level, you've got people with an insatiable lust for young children, and that they're damaged and they're broken, and there's something deep rooted wrong with them. Can they be cured? Some. Corinne has, she's got a success rate of 9 out of 10, but there is that 1% out of pure evil. And where does it stop? Well, as we mentioned before, you know, it's their guilt. They know it's wrong, and they do know it's wrong because they do it in private, and then they'll go and do it. They'll feel ashamed and disgusted with themselves, but then they'll go back and do it again. But, you know, at what point does it stop? Where does that depravity stop? Does it stop there, or does it escalate? Does it get worse and worse? And then when you get into the organized element of it, and SRA has funded the snuff movie industry for many years, and also torture videos and things like that. You know, it's the British government are still in denial that snuff movies exist. You can watch them; they're real. They are real. You know, this is the insult. This is what you're up against when at that level they say no, they don't exist. Yes, they do. And I saw them as a young kid. Someone had a video years ago of people being killed and that, and we went and watched it, and it was highly disturbing back then. So for them to have the audacity to say it doesn't go on, but when you get the organized side of it like this, you know, this is playing for high stakes here.
Yeah.
And when the victims are murdered, because that's where it's going.
Yeah.
There will be a need for everyone to be very, very tight-lipped about that. So you're going to pick it very, very wisely. So if we take, for example, like Freemasonry, there's many people that are Freemasons that are good, decent, honest, hardworking individuals that have just been hoodwinked, which is their term anyway, into this benevolent society which they think is going to give them a leg up in business, and it probably does, or maybe it doesn't. It's just pyramid selling anyway. But at some point it's demonic and it's Luciferian. And so when people think that every Freemasonic lodge, every sort of ritual they do in the lower degrees, a child is murdered, no, they're not. And it's the same as the statistics of 100,000 children going missing every week. Well, they do, but 99.9% reoccurring come back home. And people get it skewed in the head and they think 100,000 kids go missing and they're killed by Satanists and they're killed in Freemasonic lodges, you know, and that's just an unbalanced mind you know, going into overdrive. That is not the truth. Kids are reported missing under the national statistics, under the guidelines of missing persons and recording it. Every time a kid absconds from care, their class is a MISPER, a vulnerable child missing person. But most will come back.
Yeah.
But then there are those that don't. Now, there's also children and infants that are used in these rituals. And I've spoken to enough survivors will say that sometimes there's up to 6 infants that were mutilated and murdered at a ritual. But where do they come from? Now, I had a statement. It was an official Section 9 statement, and it was from a street prostitute who was given evidence, and I believe it was the truth, of she was approached by a drug dealer, because most street prostitutes are Class A drug users, heroin and crack cocaine. And most, near enough, every single one had come from... had come from chronic childhood abuse. Right now, these women were offered £2,000 not to wear a condom with a punter and get pregnant. And this guy, the drug dealer, he was based in the Waterloo area of London, would monitor them throughout their pregnancy. It's a bit like Rosemary's Baby, the film. Again, that's another one, Rosemary's Baby, telling you what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And they would go to a clinic, which was over in West Brompton, and have the baby, and then it would be taken off by this guy, and it would go straight into a ritual, because it's the bloodletting. It's the antithesis of Christ, that let the blood flow thing, and the demonic do the opposite, right? And the child's blood is the most prized. And it will be for many, many reasons: fame, wealth, prosperity. You know, we've had, I think there's either 5 or 6 London bridges built, right? Apart from the new one, all the others had a sacrifice placed in their foundations, a human sacrifice, all the others. There was a shopping center in Nigeria, Uganda, in Kampala. And they had to investigate it, because there was a child sacrifice was done and put in the foundation so it would prosper. So it goes on. So people can't say that this is nonsense. It does go on. And there's huge money in it. I've heard of a world champion British middleweight boxer who went running to Christianity because he was so heavily involved in juju, in Obia. That a ritual was done for him to get his world title. I've heard of a football player. I've heard, it's only what I've heard, that the body in the Thames, that body of Adam, was done for a Premier. That's what I heard. I heard that from the underground grapevine. That one.
Okay.
You know, so things are real.
It's every facet, John, isn't it? The days of the easy to identify these individuals are long gone. It's infiltrated everything.
Well, the thing is, they're telling you, aren't they? They're doing all this left eye nonsense and all. They're telling you what they are. And some of them don't even hide it. They're openly saying, I sold my soul to the devil. They're not saying they sold their soul to the universe, to the giant crystal.
Yeah.
You know, they sold their soul to the devil, the fallen angel, the devil. You know, they're telling you what they did.
Yeah,
you know, and they mock Jesus Christ. They don't mock any other religion. I've never seen anyone mock Islam or Buddhism, but they mock Jesus. They do the fake on the cross. They do it all the time.
Yeah,
you know, and for what? Because these are broken people that want the power. They want the privilege. Maybe they've never had the power, and they love it. The ego loves it. It's a monster that will eat itself. And it's in our face. But how high does this go? Will the justice system allow it to be exposed? Because I'm telling you now, the British justice system won't allow it to be exposed. The intelligence services stepped in like they've always stepped in, and they prevent it ever getting out. And I would have thought the FBI, the CIA will do exactly the same. I don't think the public will get what the public wants. but it will be a watered-down version of justice. That's my prediction.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, it's what's happened in the UK. I mean, just look at the leniency of the recent BBC case, John. It's a joke, an absolute joke, the way that things get handled.
Well, look at Savile. He came to the attention of police so many times. He was reported in the 50s, you know, and throughout he was arrested in the 2000s. And he threatened the two weak-minded idiot detectives from Surrey Police. He threatened them and bullied them. We had the same thing again with Surrey Police and then with Hampshire, East Sussex, sorry, with Bishop Peter Ball. Again, did the same, that they let him go with serious offending against young men, serious offending. You know, a friend of King Sausage Fingers who protected him for 16 years and refused to give a statement against him, and even denigrated our king, our monarch, even denigrated the victim and the survivors of the S abuse by his best friend, Bishop Peter Ball. You know, it's appalling. It's disgraceful. It's disgusting. But I've experienced it in the Metropolitan Police, where same thing, that what I reported on is no different to what these people are saying about the Diddy parties.
They've all
said the same. And what did they do? They came for me and not for the perpetrators. We'll see the same. And you know, what decent society needs to do is watch this carefully. Watch this carefully. It will get more attention than the poor victims of abuse in this country ever got, because it's America, and it's big and it's glitzy and it's all shiny and sparkly. Whereas here,
I get what you're saying there.
You know, it's all grey and it's all ministers and
that's it.
Public school boys and things like that.
It affects more people because of how mainstream the characters in this narrative are. But John, what we're going to do just now is, obviously in the side chat we've got a moderation team that keep our wonderful side chat flowing well, and Lisa is in Discord right now. Lisa B, are you there? Can you hear me? Of course not, because that's how everything...
Yes, I can hear you. I just got my speaker on silent.
Yeah, no problem. You're live just now. You're live with John. Is there anything you want to ask John, or questions you want to throw out while you're here? Sorry to pick on you first. John, are you able to hear...
Oh, no problem.
Are you able to hear Discord?
Yeah, I can hear, yeah.
Right, wicked.
Hey, John, much respect to you and to everything that you do. And as somebody who has been through childhood SA and survived that, I have complete and utter respect for you. How high do you think all this goes? To what level are we talking? Do you even know people, individuals? I mean, I know what we are told and what the media wants us to hear, but my suspicions are, I have a lot of suspicions, obviously, and I can't say on here what I feel, because naming names. But how far is it, do you think it goes?
Right, well, let me tell you this, Lisa, right? Now, there was a guy called Lenny Harper. I always mention him, and he was a senior officer. He was a lot more senior than me, detective. He took over the care home scandal in Jersey, Hope de la Garenne, where kids were, same thing, S parties, abuse, ritualistic murder. And he said to me, what you're looking at goes right to the heart of the establishment. And he said, it's the same with what you're looking at. It'll go right to the heart of the establishment. And we've seen Home Secretaries named in this country. We even saw our Prime Minister, Ted Heath, named tens of dozens of times involved in it. Yeah. Of course it will go. Yeah. Well, look at even one of our royals was named with the Epstein thing. So the evidence is there, it will go up. But what is important to understand, and I mention this all the time, is that when it comes to criminality of this nature, of the S abuse nature, it doesn't know any boundaries. The majority of crime, what the police deal with, is on the council estates. And I don't want to denigrate anyone. I'm just telling you the fact it is. So any copper who works a beat in a busy area, well, we're on the same housing estate, dealing with the same families day in, day out. And then when they grow up, you'll be dealing with their children, right? So it's a poverty-based thing, right? It's all other social issues going on, dysfunctionality, but usually it's a poverty-based thing. But when you get criminal activity of this nature, it doesn't know any boundaries, and that's why it's so unique and also so very, very dangerous. So without a doubt, I'm telling you now, this will go, not all of it, because there'll be everyone on every level doing it, facilitating it or whatever. But there will be people very high up in the establishment who I don't know. But again,
and
all we want to hear is names, don't we? This is it's like the media. It's like Hello Magazine. We want to hear names, names. But there'll be people that will be known that no one's ever heard of, but they may well be the big CEOs of this. There was one guy named in the inquiry involving Dolphin Square. I can't remember his name. It'll come to me. I mentioned it yesterday. But him and his brother, they were the ones, the CEOs of WH Smiths, you know. And I can't remember his name, but the brother was named, and the guy himself was named. So no one really heard of him unless you was in that world, this corporate world. But it'll be at every single level.
My next question, really, I'm sorry to take up any more time.
That's all right, don't worry.
Is this why people are so afraid to talk about this? And, you know, you mention things on Facebook and everybody's all over it, and, you know, it's a hot topic subject matter. And then you get to child sex abuse and all that stuff, and everybody shuts down. It's like
They do shut down, but for many reasons, right? For the fact that child abuse affects a third of the population, and that, you know, and that is the conservative estimate by the family courts was a quarter, but I saw the NSPCC and the family court judge in the UK said it probably affects a third of the population. So amongst that will be people like yourself, the survivors, but there will be the perpetrators, you know, and you know, there'll be the men that like looking at the 14-year-old girls but don't see themselves as a PDF file, and all sorts of things in the mix. And it's very uncomfortable because it affects so many, because it's to do with sex. So it's a very, very uncomfortable thing. And of course, they don't want to hear about it. But what do we do? Ignore it and let it go away? Yeah. I've been asked many times, you know, what advice would you give to anyone about bravery? The thing is, firstly, as a Christian, I fear no evil, right? So these are evil people, and I don't fear them or their works. I don't fear them and the works of the devil. I don't fear them. But the other thing is, where is my fear? I'm not the one laying in a little bed, huddled up, hiding behind a duvet like some of the victims were, right? They're the ones who had the fear, not me. And what I say to people that are not the victims but are grown up, mature people, grow up, shoulder this, grow a pair, because it's not your fear to carry, right? The fear is the victims, right? Do the right thing. Stand up and do the right thing, because in the words of Edmund Burke, right, in order for the triumph of evil, Lisa, it takes but for good men and women now to do nothing. So let's not be 100%. People who do nothing, good or not, you know, whether we're righteous or whatever we might be. If you do nothing, then shame on you.
Yeah. Well, Lisa, thank you very much for your questions. Thank you for being part of this. I'm going to just quickly jump to someone else, but thanks for being here. Okay, Blue Nomad, are you here? Let me know if you're here, Blue Nomad. If not, I'll skip along. Oh, here we go. Blue Nomad, how are you? Can't hear you. I'll let you figure out your audio, Blue Nomad. Nikki, are you here? Nikki, all my mics are on.
Yeah. I'm here,
How are you doing, Nikki? Have you got any questions or anything you want to throw at John?
Yeah, I did put them in the chat.
Okay, well,
do you think Epstein himself?
No.
Unalive himself?
No, I mean, Epstein, look, Sean Coombs, right, is the Poundland version of Epstein. You know, he was doing the bulk. Epstein was doing it on a world leader scale. I mean, you know, look with Freemasonry. They get told if you disclose your secrets, you're going to get your throat slit, your belly cut open, boom, 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 and that's what will happen, right? And he was at a point, Epstein, where he may well start leaking the secrets. And mm-hmm. and bear in mind, ritual abuse and these satanic cults, you know, that's the ultimate secret society. So that was the name of the game. You know, you get in a position, you die, you finish off. So it just goes to show the scope of the sheer scale and corruption around this. And I think he'll probably, we don't know. I mean, I'm not got a crystal ball, but let's see how the police manage this. And I think because he is so much lower level than Epstein was, that may well afford him that protection that Epstein didn't have. So mm-hmm. let's wait and see. Now, I personally don't think he will. I think he'll go away for a long, long time if convicted. But let's see what he comes out with. Let's see the strokes he's going to pull. Mm-hmm. And let's see who stands by him. Let's see who supports him.
Yes.
And bear in mind, these are all rats, these people, right? You know, you look at Philip Schofield. They're all ratting on him and no one's standing by him now. But, you know, the next thing, you know, a few days before his scandal, everyone was his friends and loved him and let's support him. And, of course, when he became toxic, they all dropped him. And this shows, you know, what a bunch of rats these people are. You know, they have no integrity, none of them. Yeah, and if anyone knew what Schofield was doing, they should have grasped him up and spoke out about him, but they didn't because it was beneficial for them not to. And it'll be the same with this guy. You know, oh, we all knew about him. Well, that's not good enough in my book. It's not good enough. What have you done about it? Mm-hmm. You know, what have you done about it? So, no, I think he'll be at risk. He's too arrogant to top himself, if that's what we think might happen. Yeah, yeah. He's too arrogant. He's too full of himself and his own self-importance to do that. He's a narcissist. But he holds information that of course it will get him killed without a doubt, but that's where the police need to do their job, protect him. And in an ideal world, I would milk him for every bit of information he's got. He would have no sleep. I would be interrogating him and milking him for every single name, every single address, every single victim, everything. I've got to work on him. Yeah, I would go to work on that guy, and they should be doing the same.
I agree. Well, Nikki, thank you very much. Anne T, are you here? Now, Anne is one of our actual community members, as opposed to just one of the mod team. Now, the mod team are fantastic, but I'm saying she is a genuine member of the community. Anne T, are you with us? Do you want to talk? Is your mic on or off? Maybe not going to happen. We'll come back to you, Anne. Blue Nomad, are you around? We'll see if we can get Blue Nomad's stuff working. If not, we'll put a pin in the Discord section of our show and we'll just call it a success. I mean, so make sure you guys join the Discord, because I think for me anyway, it's always good to have the community come on and be able to put their points of view across, with this being YouTube, and none of us have a voice unless there's people to hear it. Do you know what I'm saying? It's the whole metaphorical, does a tree make any noise if there's no one there to hear it? So I just want to thank you all. Is there anything that you want to, what else you want to throw in, John, on the subject of all of this? Because
whether or not, you know, this ever makes it to the other side, but you know, I want people that are caught up in this to be brave, especially the survivors of this, to drop the fear. And this guy's banged up, and you know, put a bit of faith, and it's a difficult thing to say, in the authorities, that they will protect you, and they will elicit your information and your evidence in a strong and righteous way, and not deliberately corrupt it, and do it so thoroughly that you don't suffer extreme cross-examination, because they're in for a tough time with this. But you've just got to stay strong. But your pain will be eased by people on the periphery speaking out. And I want to call out to all his legal team. And it's the same as Al-Fayed's legal team, because we're going to see an inquiry in that, I would have thought.
Yeah.
You know, ex-military guys, ex-police guys, oh, come on, grow up. Come on now. Really, is money that important to you that you ignore the screams and the tears of victims, which is what you would have encountered? You would have seen young girls coming out of his residence, out of his office, in tears and maybe in pain.
Yeah.
You know, come on, do the right thing. You know, if you've served the crown, then you know, serve the victims as well, because, you know, that's what happens when you take up positions with the military and with the police, that you stand up for the underdog. So, you know, put your wealth to one side.
Yeah,
it ain't gonna your money ain't going to save you, but helping the victim will save you. That's a brownie point when you cross over. So, and the same with this thing, do the right thing. But there's a lot of people with a lot of dirt, and I think there will be a lot of people that will be exposed. Not that it needs exposing, but they will claim to be heterosexual when actually are homosexual.
Yeah.
There'll be a lot of that. And there'll be a lot of people that come make out they're clean and are big drug takers. But ultimately, there'll be people that will have an S liking for young children.
Yeah.
And let's watch with interest. And Sean Coombs going to hell anyway. I don't care for him, but I hope he sees it in his heart to do the right thing and admit to what he's done and grass everyone up. But I can't see that happening.
Yeah, let's all keep that in the forefront of our mind. Well, listen, John, it's been another amazing show. We had just over 1,700 people on the live across all platforms tonight. I just want to say to everyone who's joined Discord and things like that, please understand you have to be active for nights like this. You need to, you know, become a little bit more known to us just for security reasons and things like that. And I just want to say thank you to everyone in the side chat. Thank you to you, John. We'll be back again very, very soon. Tell people if they want more Wedger content, tell us about your podcast and things like that.
I sort of don't do much of my own stuff anymore, but I'm always on other people's channels. It's sort of getting more and more popular. I don't think I've ever been so busy. So I am out there. I do have a Patreon. I think if you go into Patreon, you can put my name in. You'll find if you want to donate.
Can you send me the link on WhatsApp to that just now?
Yeah. I'll send you the link.
If you do it now, I'll post it in the side chat, mate.
So, you know, if you want to support my work and what I do, but, you know, I'm as instructor, I'm working like a submarine. I go under for a while. You don't hear from me. I go excommunicado, and then I pop up again. And I'm at the final stages of my autobiography, so hopefully that will be coming out, and that will be published by Atwood Books, whatever they're called. And
gotta do it by Christmas, really. John. Gotta get that Christmas rush in, mate.
Exactly. So I'm on a lot of things at the moment, and I'll carry on doing it while there's a demand. I'll keep on doing it, but at the risk of being boring, you know, I'll try and make it varied. But so listen,
you're never, ever, ever, ever boring. Okay, we could sit and listen to you all night, John. And I just want to say again, thank you so much for giving up your time. Thank you for being so willing to educate and go down these roads with people. And we all love you. So. Thank you, John.
God bless. I'm going to get a cup of tea.
Yeah, bye-bye. Exactly. We'll see you on the next one. Peace. Oh, no, the end stream button's gone. There we go.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.